Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in the book of Numbers, and this is chapter 13. And this one has to do with the 12 spies, this chapter, going into the promised land to spy it out. And the people there saw these walled cities, and they used to build the cities on top of mounds to make the walls even look bigger than they were. And they they had some giants there, Anakians and Zimzumims and other giants as well. And you know, when you could send 1,200 people to a place to spy out the United States, there's like billions of people spying out the land, the whole world today, and they're saying, who is greater than the beast? So the beast, or the people that we have to deal with today, are far more powerful than the ones, the weapons that they have are far more powerful today than what they had back then. And so people really have to believe the scriptures. That's why it's very important to read the scriptures. God took an entire nation, Egypt, and turned it upside down. Many plagues, and opened the Red Sea. Terrifying wonders that the Lord performed, and destroyed the entire army. And the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the Lord, the people that are bold and courageous today are actually even far more bold and courageous than the people of that day are. We're Christians, and we've seen all these testimonies that the Lord has performed for his people, and we are to believe that God is the same today. If you really believe in God, then you're not afraid. You're not one of the fearful and unbelieving people. We have a maniac in the Vatican and many maniacs in different regimes here in the United States, the president who backs up the Pope, who is the one that's calling all the shots, and his administration as well. They laugh. They are laughing their heads off when they see people frightened at what they say, that the terrorism is just going to destroy everybody. Christians have to believe that even if we did get that our bodies were killed, we're still going to be in heaven instantly. Amen?
Amen.
So there isn't anything to fear unless you fear leaving this mud ball, this planet. And I don't fear that at all. And, most people that read my literature can tell that I don't fear this beast. And this beast is much larger than Goliath. People keep crowing about what David did with Goliath. But are we not fighting a Goliath much more terrible and bigger than that one? Amen?
Amen.
But I just believe that God is able to deliver, that can slay this Goliath, this big one-world beast. It's the cult and its media, just the same way that he destroyed all the world at one time, the way that he destroyed homosexuals in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the way that he promises to destroy them all again. Just the same way that he destroyed all the chosen people for fearing Satan rather than fearing the Lord. And so people have to be very careful to not be cowards, because the book of Revelation tells us that God is going to send all the fearful and unbelieving, all those that fear Satan and believe Satan rather than fearing God, and believing him, you're going to send them all to hell. Everyone that even that calls himself a Christian, if you fear Satan and you believe him rather than God, you're going to hell, because that's a horrible sin, to not fear God and keep his commandments. That is the whole duty of man, is to fear God and keep his commandments. Now the Bible says, Jesus said, fear not him that can take your life, your body life, because he can't send your soul to hell, but fear him that can kill your body and then send your soul to hell. Now, so somebody kills your body and you're saved and you don't fear Satan, but you fear the Lord and keep you don't die. You never die, the Lord said. You'll be right in the kingdom of heaven if you fear God and keep his commandments. So you just see there's 10 real bad cars. You know, you could take an accident outside over here, and you get 12 people there, and they all report something different because they looked at the accident maybe from different angles. And you really can't get everybody to say the same stories, but in this particular case, Joshua and Caleb came back with the same report. They said it was definitely a blend of milk and honey, which actually is a Jewish term. It's a type or figure of speech that means it's a land of plenty. Milk and honey means the idiom for that is a land of plenty. So it's not like milk and honey, literally, okay? Just like we say that this kid was born with a silver spoon in its mouth. That would be miraculous, wouldn't it? Right?
Right.
That would be a miracle, like unparalleled, you know, in these ages. It just means that he was born rich, amen?
Amen.
So when you hear the Bible say, I'm going to send you, the Lord say that he's going to give them a land filled with, you know, the land of milk and honey, that means a land of plenty. There's going to be houses that are thoroughly stocked with all kinds of food and bedding and dishes and all sorts of things like that, that they never built and they never bought the stuff. There'll be money in there and all sorts of things. And I believe that that's what the Lord's going to do. He's going to kill one-third of the world population at one time, and the people of the Lord will be able to go into mansions, possibly like the ones in Beverly Hills or Bel Air or Holmby Hills, Truesdale Estates, you know, up in the Catskills, all the different beautiful places in the world that I've seen also in France and the French Riviera, the Italian Riviera. All the different beautiful places in Sicily and London, and all over the world, there's such beautiful places that the kingdom of heaven, it puts them to shame. Puts it, even like down in West Palm Beach, where you see these big homes over there worth $16 million, and place over there right on the water where Joe Kennedy, the dad of the Kennedy boys that got killed, they were presidents, and their one was running for president. They lived there. I've been out there in Palm Beach and West Palm Beach. And I've seen some of the, you know, nicest homes in Beverly Hills, Bel Air, Holmby Hills, and so on. And a lot of those people will be dead. And there'll be no one to occupy their homes. It's just as the Hebrew children went in and the Lord destroyed these people right before them and told them to do that. And of course, we don't use carnal weapons these days. God goes before us and he does it. But they just walked into these houses. The people that lived there before are not there anymore. And they said, what is this? Is this my house now? Yes, it's your house now, the Lord said. And so once you start committing the same kind of sins that they did, I'm going to kill you people and give your houses and lands to somebody else too. These people are perverts, and they murder people, just like the Vatican does, and they pollute the land. And the Lord, this land belongs to the Lord. Now the world government, the world system, that's not the land, the earth. The devil doesn't own the earth. The Lord does, and he doesn't want the earth polluted with the blood of murdered people, because he lives in the land as well. Well, where does he live? He lives in his temples. People like, if you're saved, you and myself and others, all the others that are saved, every born again of the Spirit Christian. So here they are going into this land, and 10 of them got afraid. And what did it do by them being fearful and unbelieving, that they already saw God open the Red Sea and all the other things that, you know, happened in Egypt, and he killed the whole Egyptian army. And now 10 of them come back, oh, we're afraid these people are giants, and their cities are clear up to, walled cities are great, and we're just little and small, they make us look like grasshoppers and so on. Well, the A-bomb and all these other terrorist things make us look like grasshoppers too, amen?
Amen.
But God is bigger than the giants, amen?
Amen?
He ran them all out of the Holy Land, the land of milk and honey, the land of plenty, with a bunch of hornets, little insects. That's how he got rid of those giants. And I believe that the Lord can do, he doesn't have to do it the same way. Some people he nailed with grasshoppers, locusts. Some people he got with lice, with frogs. Amen?
Yeah.
Flies. Turn the water to blood. Or he can send a meteorite down from the kingdom of heaven, right from the heavens, and smash at one time one third of the people in this world, in this on this earth. And he can make the earth move right off of its axis. And then that's just one plague that the Lord's going to send down. So don't, when the Lord tells you to invade someplace, he tells you to do something, like he told me to open a school. And so I did it. I mean, immediately the school was open within 15 minutes because I know how to really sashay. I really know how to move when the Lord yells at me like that. He told me a month or two before, and I tried to get an attorney to do it, and nothing happened. So the Lord just says, I didn't tell the attorney to do it. I told you to do it. Now, open it up. It's been open for quite a few years now. I would say about 30 years, something like that, hasn't it? Amen?
Amen.
Because the Lord didn't want our children going to a Baptist school. Because the Baptist school, Windsor School, Baptist school, didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so they're not of the Lord. And then they also didn't believe in miracles. And so that makes them disbelieving. Those that believe shall be saved, and those that don't believe, that doubt, shall be damned, the Bible says. So if we continued to let our children go to that school, and if you were a type of a person that would allow your children to go to a public school, which is even worse, because they don't believe in God at all, and they teach their children to believe in evolution rather than the Bible, well, your soul is going to go to hell for destroying your children. If you know that you're not to do that, and you continue doing that, and if you don't homeschool your children with Bible curriculum, if you're afraid to even come to our church because you know that the Antichrist hates us so bad, and you know that if the Antichrist hates us that bad, then God must really love us tremendously, all right? And then you would be afraid to go to a church where you know that God loves the people tremendously. Why, you're a worse. You're as bad as any devil. You doubt instead of believe. And therefore, you're destined to the lake of fire. That's what your destiny is. Well, anyway, let's ask the Lord to bless chapter 13 here in Numbers. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for all your word that shows us that every person that doubted, everyone that doubts goes to hell. They go to the lake of fire. Their destiny is an eternity of suffering and pain, and a destiny of nothing, and zero, just because they wanted to save their hide. And all the time they should have believed that you wouldn't allow one hair on their head to be harmed, because your word says so. But they won't read your word, Lord, so that they can be sure of the things that you say, because the Bible tells us one testimony after the other to those that were courageous and very brave, and knowing that you were right there before them in a pillar of cloud, and at nighttime a pillar of fire, and now you're living inside of us, that we know that if God be with us, who could be against us? Lord, let this lesson, and that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, and when Christ Jesus in the Father and the Holy Spirit, which is God the Father, is in us, then who could be against us? I mean, who is this uncircumcised Vaticanite? Who is this giant of a government? Even your word, Lord, in the book of Daniel tells us that that you're going to smash it into powder. and blow it away like chaff on the threshing floor. Oh, Father God, give everyone the courage from your word. Let them receive it all. And, of course, there's a contingency to you going before us and warring for us and delivering us, and that is that we fear you and keep your commandments. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us that that is the whole duty of man, is to fear God, not Satan, and keep God's commandments, not Satan's. Praise the Lord. Lord God, we ask that you teach everyone, every hearer of this tape, that lesson. And we ask it, and Lord, that you imprint on their minds, their spirits, their souls, that they must keep your commandments or they'll never have the confidence to go into war, to battle, or to resist the devil. We have to know that we're righteous. We must be wearing the breastplate of righteousness. We must have the shield of faith. That is to do everything you say, and we must be carrying the double-edged sword and the cloak of zeal and the girdle of truth and the helmet of salvation and the boots, the shoes of the gospel, to tread on anything, to be able to walk into any type of area that you send us into. Lord, we'll be thoroughly clothed. And the only part of our bodies that is not that you didn't provide any armor for was our backside. In other words, you don't want us fleeing at all. You want us to be very bold and courageous and to go into the land and come back. Yes, this is the land of milk and honey. This is the land of plenty. And this is our God going before us, and we're going to be able to destroy all these enemies because God wants them destroyed. And he doesn't want us to be fearful and unbelieving. He doesn't want us to go back to sin because we're afraid of the enemy. And he really doesn't want to send us back for another 38 years out on the wilderness. But if that's what you want, just come back with a bad report, with a negative report rather than a positive one. It's because they saw God do all these things, and you can see that he did them in the Bible, and that you still don't believe, and therefore you're still going to hell in the lake of fire. But if you will be as Caleb and Joshua, you shall enter the kingdom of heaven. The land of milk and honey was only symbolic of the kingdom of God. It shows that a lot of people will not be able to make it, even though they were followers of God and God delivered them. But there's no such thing as once saved, always saved. And there's no such thing as that God loves people unconditionally. There are conditions with everything with God. Everything has a condition, Lord. And so therefore, show them that in this these chosen people. Every one of the ones 20 years and older dropped dead out in the wilderness. Father, teach us this lesson in all your words in every chapter. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Lord, and destroy that enemy now, and destroy the enemy that has got our minds believing that the government is stronger than you. Destroy those thoughts in our minds, Lord. Let everyone put a cross up there and destroy that thought, because you're God, and there's none like you in the entire universe. And Lord, you will destroy this one world government, this cult, this evil cult, and the media. You will do it, because you said you would. You said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And everyone says, a mighty amen in the name of Jesus, a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's go.
Numbers chapter 13. 12 scouts explore Canaan. King James Version, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. Verse 3. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Verse 4. And these were their names: of the tribe of Reuben, Shammua the son of Zachar. Verse 5, of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat the son of Hori. Verse 6, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb the son of Jephunneh. Verse 7, of the tribe of Issachar, Egal the son of Joseph. Verse 8, of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea the son of Nun. Verse 9, of the tribe of Benjamin, Paltai the son of Raphu. Verse 10, of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel the son of Sodi. Verse 11, of the tribe of Joseph, namely of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi the son of Susi. Verse 12, of the tribe of Dan, Amiel the son of Gamali. Verse 13, of the tribe of Asher, Sether the son of Michael. Verse 14, of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi the son of Vophsi. Verse 15, of the tribe of Gad, Guel the son of Machi. Verse 16, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land.
Okay, all were cowards except two. Amen?
Amen.
Now, did you finish that verse?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Yehoshua.
Yeah, now that's actually Joshua. Okay.
Yeah.
And then what?
Okay, verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain. Translation, verse 1 through 17. 12 scouts explore Canaan. Verse 1. The Lord now said to Moses, verse 2, quote, send men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to Israel. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes, unquote. Verse 3. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He sent out 12 men, all tribal leaders of Israel, from their camp in the wilderness of Paran. Verse 4. These were the tribes and the names of the leaders. Tribe 1 is Reuben, and the tribe leader is Shammua, son of Zachar. Verse 5. Simeon, and the leader is Shaphat, son of Hori. Verse 6. Judah, the tribe, and the leader is Caleb, son of Jephunneh.
Now that's one of the only non-phonies, all right? This guy is bold. Then what?
Verse 7, Issachar, the leader is Egal, son of Joseph. Verse 8, Ephraim, and the leader is Hoshea, son of Nun.
Okay, that's Joshua, son of Nun, all right? And he's all right, too. Then what?
Verse 9, Benjamin, the tribe, the leader is Paltai, son of Raphu.
Paltai, fearful and unbelieving. Then what?
Verse 10, Zebulun is the tribe, and the leader is Gadiel, son of Sodi.
Another fearful one. Then what?
Verse 11, Manasseh, son of Joseph, the leader is Gadai, son of Susai.
Another fearful one.
Verse 12, Dan is the tribe, and the leader is Amiel, son of Gamali.
Mm-hmm. Another one. Then what?
Verse 13, Asher the tribe, and the leader is Sether, son of Michael.
Same thing. Then what?
Verse 14, Naphtali, and the leader is Nabi, son of Vophsi. Verse 15, Gad is the tribe, and the leader is Guel, son of Machi.
All fearful. Then what?
Verse 16, these are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. By this time, Moses had changed Hoshea's name to Joshua.
Yahshua, yeah. There's no J in Hebrew, so that's Yahshua, right?
Right. Verse 17.
But he's not Yahshua HaMashiach, right?
Right.
He's not the Messiah. Then what else?
Verse 17. Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. Quote, go northward through the Negev into the hill country. Unquote. King James Version, verse 18. And see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. Verse 19, and what the land is that
okay, see, the people are telling Moses to do that, but Moses really didn't want to do that. Right? That was in the order from the Lord. Why would they have to see that if the people are strong or not, when the Lord is the one that's going to destroy them anyway? Amen?
Amen.
These are the people requesting that. All right, then what? Read it again.
Okay. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, verse 18, and see the land what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many.
Yeah, but that was at the request of the people. Moses would never have done that. He just said he didn't think there was anything that wrong. They requested it, that's all. And what else?
Verse 19, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. Translation, verse 18 through 19. See what the land is like, and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. Verse 19, what kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? Do their towns have walls, or are they unprotected?
If it's good or bad, the Lord said it's a land of plenty. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
King James Version, verse 20. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Verse 21, so they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. Verse 22, and they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were.
That's the giants.
Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Verse 23, and they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Translation, verse 20 through 23. How is the soil? Is it fertile? Poor? Are there many trees? Enter the land boldly, and bring back samples of the crops you see. It happened to be the season for harvesting the first ripe grapes. Verse 21. So they went up and explored the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near Lebo Hamath. Verse 22. Going northward, they passed first through the Negev and arrived at Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, all descendants of Anak, the giant, lived. The ancient town of Hebron was founded 7 years before the Egyptian city of Zoan. Verse 23, when they came to what is now known as the Valley of Eshcol, they cut down a cluster of grapes so large that it took two of them to carry it on a pole between them! They also took samples of the pomegranates and figs. King James Version, verse 24, the place was called the Brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. Verse 25, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Verse 26, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Verse 27, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey.
In other words, surely there's plenty there. Okay, then what?
And this is the fruit of it. Verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Translation, verse 24 through 28. At that time the Israelites renamed the valley Eshcol, quote, cluster, unquote, because of the cluster of grapes they had cut there. The scouting report, verse 25. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned. Verse 26. To Moses, Aaron, and the people of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen, and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. Verse 27, this was their report to Moses, quote, we arrived in the land you sent us to see, and it is indeed a magnificent country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is some of the fruit as proof. Verse 28, But the people living there are powerful, and their cities and towns are fortified and very large. We also saw descendants of Anak who are living there! Exclamation mark. King James Version, verse 29. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. Verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Translation, verse 29 through 33. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites live in the hill country.
Now, what difference does it make how tall people are, how big they are? When it comes to God, God is the one that put breath in their nose, and he can pull it right out. Amen?
Amen.
And they hurt just like some small person, and God can send hornets at them, and he did, and he ran them out of there. Then what else?
The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. Verse 30. But Caleb tried to encourage the people as they stood before Moses. Quote, Let's go at once to take the land, unquote, he said. Quote, We can certainly conquer it, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 31. But the other men who had explored the land with him answered, quote, We can't go up against them, exclamation mark. They are stronger than we are, exclamation mark, unquote.
Well, I don't know. I would have said, look, don't you remember what the Lord did to the Egyptian army? He drowned them all right? And don't you remember how he killed the firstborn in Egypt? And how he turned the water to blood and sent in flies and frogs and lice? And, you know, I would have done a little more expounding. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord's going to do the same thing here. He's before us. Can't you see him up there? In the pillar of cloud, in the fire, in the pillar of fire. Come on, man. You know? Come on, let's go.
Verse 32. So they spread discouraging reports about the land among the Israelites. Quote, The land we explored will swallow up any who go to live there.
Yeah, and would God send us to a land that would swallow us up? He said he promised it to our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he promises to us also that he's going to smash this one world government, this cult, and the media. He's going to smash it to pieces, to powder. So why is anybody afraid? Amen?
Amen.
I want to be like Caleb and Joshua. Amen?
Amen.
And encourage the people. Because God hasn't changed. Some people must think that God died. Then what else?
All the people we saw were huge. Verse 33. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. We felt like grasshoppers next to them, and that's what we looked like to them! Exclamation mark, unquote.
All right, that was all the verses in chapter 13 in Numbers, and now we have some commentary here.
13 verse 3. Wilderness of Paran. Kadesh Barnea is the campsite according to Deuteronomy 1:19. See also Numbers 13:26. According to chapter 20 verse 1, Kadesh Barnea is located in the wilderness of Zin. The apparent reason for locating Kadesh in both wilderness is that the borders of wilderness areas are not distinct. Since Kadesh apparently lay on the fringe of both areas, it could be referred to as belonging to either. Heads of the children of Israel chose why the report of the ten carried such weight. They were key leaders. 13 verse 16. Hoshea, Joshua, or Yeshua. The original name means, quote, salvation, unquote. Moses changes it to Yahweh, the Lord is salvation. 13 verse 21. From Joshua chapter 13 verse 5, we can deduce that the entrance of Hamath was in the north of Israel toward Lebanon. Apparently, the spies traversed all of what later became Israel. 13 verse 22. Hebron is mentioned here probably because it became Caleb's inheritance. See Joshua 14:6 through 15. 13 verse 26 through 33. The positive report, verse 30, is framed by negative reports, verses 27 through 29, 31 through 33. Caleb alone is mentioned. Joshua does not speak until chapter 14, verse 6. Likewise, when Yahweh, or the Lord, commends the two spies, Caleb is mentioned alone in chapter 14, verse 24, and then together with Joshua in chapter 14, verse 30. 13, verse 28. Anak. You can see the result in Joshua chapter 11, verse 21. Quote, and at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities, unquote.
Yeah, he took care of the big guys. Amen?
Amen.
And what else?
13 verse 32. The bad report was a faithless one that defamed the Lord's delivering abilities.
It undermined his ability to deliver. And the Lord had already showed them many times that he was the God that delivers. Then what else?
13 verse 33. The Hebrew word for giants is the same used in Genesis 6:4. They were probably destroyed in the flood. Anak's ancestral reference is not given. The works of the 10 men here reveal their perception of themselves. Quote, we felt like grasshoppers next to them, and that's what we looked like to them! Exclamation mark, unquote. The Israelites failed to see themselves as God saw them. They were his chosen people, backed by the promises of the Creator of the universe. God had promised to give them the land of Canaan. As we face life's greatest challenges, our self-perception needs to come from our faith in God, not from difficult problems we face, or how small we are, how handicapped we might be. We need to realize that God loves us and has made many promises to help us, to deliver us, and to fight for us, so that we're able to overcome the adversity, all the adversity and sin, and also all the sinners that we face in our life, and that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus.
All right, that was chapter 13, the book of Numbers. And we'll be doing chapter 14, the Lord willing, this evening. Meditate on these things. Think about it. And think about the position that we're in today. And think about it, that it's the same God. He said, we're going to overpower these people by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. If we testify, we won't be destroyed, the Lord said. Amen?
Amen.
So maybe that's the way the Lord's going to win all these people over, is by our testimony, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Because a lot of these people that are on the wrong track, they'll get saved. But if nobody's bold, but if there wouldn't be anybody bold enough to go into the land and preach the word to them and tell them what they're doing that's wrong, they're liable to go to hell. So in essence, when we're preaching and telling Bush what he's doing wrong, and the Pope and all the other people in the world, and telling them that they must repent, or they're going to wind up in the same hell as the devil and everyone that went to hell and the lake of fire before them. And so this is mercy. So think about that. And don't just think about it. Do something about it. Get the tracts out. Get the message out. Witness. Testify. conquer the devil. There's all kinds of people that were against us out here in this area where we're at right now, and now they're for us. They're actually working out with us in the gym. Amen?
Amen.
And they're testifying about us, and many of the people that were saying bad things about us are going to come to our new church grand opening, which will be around September. And so this is how we conquer the land, with the double-edged sword. Amen? The Word of God. Praise the Lord. So meditate on that and then begin doing it and continue doing it, because as it states in the song, Joshua never finished his work until his work was done. Amen?
Amen.
Well, until then, next chapter 14, God bless you and praise the Lord.